this is such a great framework to understand how God created you. And I have a quote on my blackboard in my office, and it says, "My life is God's gift to me. What I do with my life is my gift to God." Mm. And so the more we can know and understand ourselves and our strengths and how we were designed, that is our job, right?
Welcome to the Lead Like Jesus podcast. This is Karen Conley with my husband, Chris Conley, the trustee for the Lead Like Jesus organization that we are absolutely honored and thrilled to be a part of. Today, we have a fascinating tool that every single person in our listening audience can benefit from, but not just you, also every single person that knows you. And the tool that we're talking about today is familiar to some. It is the DISC profile. But there is a new product that Lead Like Jesus has had the opportunity to create, the DISC Biblical Behavioral Assessment. And with us today as our special guest, Judy Zitzloff. Judy, we are so glad that you have joined us and know that this is your field of expertise. So thank you for joining us and coming on the show to talk to us about this great assessment.
Thank you. It's an honor.
Judy, we look forward to not only learning more about this DISC profile, but maybe after the show, you can give Karen and I a little assessment of how our DISC profile works with one another. Maybe you can enhance our marriage by helping us understand our DISC better.
I'll try.
Judy, what Chris doesn't know, which will tell you probably about my DISC profile without you having seen my results, I decided to go ahead and take the DISC profile before our podcast, so I have my results. So that should tell you something about where I might land in those four categories.
Judy, that is so predictable. That is unbelievably predictable. The most prepared woman I know.
Well, Judy, maybe just as a starting point, as Lead Like Jesus has had the opportunity to make this resource available to the public and to all of those in our community, some people know the DISC profiles, know those types of aptitude testing and profiles and that type of thing, but this is the world you live in. Maybe you could just kind of set the stage for us and tell us a little bit about the DISC profile in general to orient those that maybe aren't as familiar.
Well, you have just asked me about my favorite topic, Karen. I have a very strong belief that self-awareness is at the heart of effectiveness. Socrates said, "Know thyself." This is something we need to really cultivate as a habit, that whole self-discovery. I believe very strongly that God has created us with unimaginable potential and questionable worth. DISC is probably one of the best ways to help us to become more aware. So basically, DISC uses four basic styles to describe how people approach their work and their relationships. It's a framework to organize our strengths and our gifts. It's a tool for understanding and discussion. And of course, it's not a tool for labeling or pigeonholing people. It jumpstarts that dialogue and gives us an opportunity to personalize our information, but then also to use it to jumpstart dialogue and gain feedback, which is such a gift from others. I like to think of it as what you're learning is a language. Do either of you speak another language other than your native tongue?
Back in college, I remember writing a 15-page paper in Spanish and feeling so good about myself, but that was a long time ago, so the answer would be no.
And I definitely do not speak another language.
So if you were to become fluent in another language, what would you have to do?
Practice and use it to keep it.
Exactly. And who are you going to practice with?
Somebody else that knows the language.
Exactly. And that's really what DISC is. The more people in your family, the more people in your organization that know and speak DISC, then the more benefit it is going to be. It's really about to get the most out of an assessment like the Biblical Behavioral Assessment. It's really about using it, applying it. And four things about DISC that I particularly appreciate. One is that it's memorable. It's fun. Didn't you have fun, Karen, learning about yourself?
I did. And not to fast forward too far, I know we haven't really described the D, the I, the S, and the C yet, but what you just said just resonates with me. Several years ago, we had an individual come to us that had developed some curriculum that was really going to be helping teenagers identify their strengths and their personality types. We said to them, in order to kind of vet the curriculum, why don't you come and give it to our entire family? We had two teenagers, so let us be your guinea pigs and see what this might look like. So all four of us took the DISC profile. Our son is now 18 and our daughter is 16, so they were probably 12 and 14 at the time. It was fascinating because Chris and I had done it independently for different things at work in different groups that we'd been a part of, but to see the four of us and how all of those interacted, it became much more useful as a tool because we all now knew the same language. So I'm just thinking about our listening audience, and many people are leaders or in places of employment where if they're the only one doing it, it has a great impact. As you said, that self-awareness is that key. But if everybody on your team knows it, how much more effective that is.
Judy, what was so funny about that is what Karen learned that was already obvious is that all four of us are high D's. But what she said was, yes, she said, but since both of our children are high D's, she had to submit in her D because, you know, someone had to give way in order for this family to work.
And of course it was Karen.
That's right.
That's right. That's right. Because steadiness went pretty high up on my list too. So I think that overtook. I told them I must have left some of my dominance when I gave birth to my children because it's just not worth the battle in our home for all four of us to have strong personalities.
Well, the dominance is really about controlling the outcomes. Sometimes we just can't control all the outcomes, can we?
So Judy, you said that first of the four qualities is memorable. The more people that know this language, the easier it is to work together. What would be the second quality that you were speaking of?
The second one is the simplicity. Humans are kind of dynamic people, and it can be pretty complex, but DISC is a way to simplify it. And while it's a complex subject, it's simple, and it's a language that you immediately remember it. I also think that it's immediately applicable. So the applicability, you had a great application to use it with your family and understanding each other and communicating more effectively. It's oftentimes used for conflict resolution or team building or building strong leaders, strong parents. So the applicability goes on and on and on because our behavior is everywhere. The fourth thing is the practicality. It's affordable, it's practical, and it's immediately applicable.
Judy, when I hear you go through that, that makes so much sense as we did this with our family, because when I think about the applicable aspect of this, you know, I would have to come alongside of my son and say, yes, you are a high D, but your position in life right now does not give you the freedom to exercise that high D in every environment. When you're in the classroom, you've got to know when to submit and understand your place. You know, it's kind of the discipline of place. It has given us great tools to really help them know how to manage their own personality and their DISC.
You hit the nail on the head. We need to be enlightened about our style. One of the things I talk about a lot is we all need to imagine that we have a volume control button right in the center of our chest. God gave us these wonderful strengths and designed us and wants us to use them. But sometimes we have the volume turned up too high on one of our strengths, or sometimes we need to turn the volume down on that strength and have it be more appropriate. And sometimes we need to take a growth opportunity and we need to turn the volume up and learn more about that and use that behavior. Am I using the appropriate behavior in the appropriate amount?
That's good. I like that a lot.
This is a smorgasbord. We have all these possibilities of how we can behave. And yes, we are going to have one or two of those styles that we just love and we call home, and that's our comfort place. But one thing I preach all the time about this is, thou shalt not use thy style as an excuse for their behavior.
Yes.
I have a heavy mega dose of influencing behavior and enthusiasm. And boy, you know, I can have that toned up really loud sometimes. I forget about things because I'm so focused on people that I'm oftentimes late. So it's easy for me to say, well, you know, I'm a high I, of course. That's why I'm late. People, I was interacting and people were important to me and I didn't want to interrupt. So I think that's a really important concept, is that we really keep our behavior in the strength range. So become a master at that volume control.
I love the visual picture of the volume control button. In my personality type, I'm someone that has been highly competitive my whole life, just a passionate person, a lot of intensity. And what I've told Karen time and time again, when I look at myself as a high D, I feel like I have to live at like 20% of my intensity level, because otherwise I would just overwhelm people. And that would not be good leadership if I was oblivious to how dominant that was. And so I have to regulate my volume in order to lead effectively.
That's a great point. People who love to live in the dominant style, dominant quadrant, whatever we want to call it, their really big gifts are that they are so results-oriented. And you know what? They are not about little results. Hey, they're about this big, bold ideas and dreams. And one of their greatest gifts in my book is that it's exciting. They're passionate about these bold things. And you just want to follow them. You want to get on the bus. You want to go where they're going. You might not know where it's going, but it's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. And I think that whole thing about challenge, you know, these challenge us to live on the edge. I saw a sign in a high D's leader's office the other day, and it said, impatience is a virtue.
Chris wants that sign.
That sums it up, doesn't it?
I love it.
But you are the risk takers, and you are the ones who force us out of our comfort zone and force us to think about things and talk about things. That elephant that keeps walking down the hall, you're going to call it out, and we're going to talk about it, and we're going to deal with it.
Judy, this is a world that Chris and I are familiar with, and it's, I think, one of the most popular types of tests that would be known in the business community and ministry community. But can you go through the acronym of DISC and kind of give people that one or two word description that they, as they're listening to this, probably would connect with those?
Absolutely. So the D is dominance. I think we probably talked about that a lot. But if you think of the dominance, what do they really aim for? And what they really aim for is big, bold, immediate results. So if you had to capture them in a sentence, they're about moving forward, making things happen, taking action. And then our influencing style comes along, and they have some similarities to the D, but what they really aim for is enthusiasm and joy. These are the people who, they love positive environments, and they create positive environments. Their enthusiasm is contagious. It's fun. When you're around the influencing, you see lots of gathering, lots of mingling. They're very expressive, and they're very good at promoting ideas, brainstorming. Not only their own, they want you to come forth and share your ideas too. So one of the maybe greatest traits is they are so good at connecting people and projects and giving encouragement and giving that positive feedback. So we need these people. And then the third style is steadiness. I have a feeling, Karen, you could be the expert on steadiness. So what these people do is aim for that support, that harmony, collaboration, working in teams. Success is spelled we for them. These are the people who, unlike the D's and I's, who kind of like to live in that chaotic, free-spirited environment. Your steadiness people say, oh, no, 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 no. I like the calm waters. I like some time to process and reflect on things and gather some information. And one of the reasons they do that is they have a very genuine sensitivity to people. They are great listeners, and they listen with their heart. Their whole being is about, how can I serve? How can I help others? They have an innate radar that goes out and it touches people in a way that I think none of the other styles do. They genuinely care. And you know what? These are the people who have a lot of history about the company, and they know how some of these changes are going to impact the people and impact long term. So while the D's and I's kind of go jump in and do and then think about it, your S's are much more, let's take this a bit slower. We're going to get there, but let's do it consistent and steadily.
You just described my daughter.
From what I've seen of you, I see a lot of that behavior in Karen as well.
Oh, absolutely, because Karen and Annika are two sides of one coin, definitely. Annika obviously has her own individuality and other strengths, but there are a lot of common strengths there.
Yes, and you've created several questions in my mind. I'm going to let you go ahead and explain the last one first so everybody has all four, because I'm steady and logical and linear and all those things. But you explain that one, and I've got a question for you related to that.
Okay. I'm glad you are doing this, because I would go off on many tangents. So our last but certainly not least style is the conscientiousness. And these people aim for accuracy. These are the people who, they just never want to be the source of a mistake. And how they factor out any mistakes is they're very investigative. They're very analytical. And they always have those shovels out. They're digging for data. They're digging for details. They're analyzing. They're evaluating. And you know what? Only the best answer, the best solution is what they're interested in. So these are the people who are very tactical, and they can take something so complex. They see the big picture, they see the finite details, and they hold it out at arm's length, and they say, here's a solution. I always marvel at that, because I do not have one logical bone in my body. So I appreciate that. So a way to kind of sum that up might be that each style has a specialty. So the D specialty is get it done. The I specialty is get the picture. They're the ones that get people excited about the projects and excited about the ideas. Very visual. The S's greatest specialty is to get along. So we have that harmony. And the C specialty, what do you think it is? We have get it done, get the picture, get along.
Get it right.
Yeah, you've got it. So, so that's a little summary. So I'll pause and let you ask your questions, Karen.
You have obviously, as the president of Zitzloff Training Resources, I'm sure you have worked with this instrument for years. I guess two questions. There's so much that I want to share about this. And
but the DME is wanting to ask the question first instead of you asking the question. No, go ahead. Sorry.
When I look at my results, I think that mine have changed over time. It differs by environment. Is that just my perception? Would you say that is true? Or do you think that they really stay pretty consistent over time?
Our research shows that actually over time, people really do not change that much. But my research has shown that, and this is a well-known fact, is that our behavior is designed to get our needs met. if the needs of a situation change, I want to be effective, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I'm probably going to modify my behavior to be more effective. So do I think that people will ever go from being an I to being a C? Short of a lobotomy, probably not. But I do think that we move around within our favorite space. So maybe...
I can see that.
You know, yeah. In one situation at home, maybe it's more appropriate to use more of a certain behavior. Mm. I was a single parent for 7 years, and while I have very little D, boy, I tell you what, my kids would have told you I was a pure D. So I think you do what you need to do to be effective, and that's another thing I think that's very important about this whole concept is we are a blend.
Mm-hmm.
We have all of these. I was talking with my 13-year-old granddaughter the other day, and we were curled up on the sofa, and she says, oh, I took one of those tests that you do in school. And I said, oh, really? I said, so tell me about you. She says, oh, I'm an ambivert. And I said, what's an ambivert? And she said, well, I'm an extrovert and I'm an introvert all at the same time. I really like to be with people, but I really like to be alone sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? That kind of sums it up, doesn't it? I do believe it's situational, and I do believe that we want to be effective, and that's so I think the volume control button changes.
Judy, when I hear you explain those, I think probably the one out of the four that might move the most is the one that fights for harmony.
Yes.
They're the one that's willing to make adjustments the most for the sake of harmony. So that makes perfect sense. And then the one that obviously would change the least is the D because they're trying to control everything. This whole process just makes me smile and laugh. The beautiful thing about it is when you go through the list of each one, I can put specific people in my mind and go, oh, I know who that is. And it's great because I'm thinking about it in the context of their strengths and who they are at their best. And then it helps me understand their weaknesses. So for our listening audience out there, I would encourage you, as you listen to this podcast, maybe go back and listen to it again. And when you listen to Judy describe the four, the one that you kind of enjoyed the most, that's probably who you are. The one that you thought, okay, enough. Get to the next one. Get to the next one. You're probably not that one, right? Definitely go take the test. But it's just amazing how much as you go through those descriptions, people are going to immediately resonate with those descriptions and kind of know who they are.
It is a great framework. And I think it really helps more than anything. It really helps relationships. Because I might now understand that if somebody has a huge need to take some time to process or need more information. And I don't have that same high need, but I need to understand that.
Right.
And it's just a great opportunity. So even listening to the podcast is great, but I really encourage you, go on the Lead Like Jesus website and take your own.
Absolutely.
Your own biblical behavioral assessment. It would be great.
Well, and Judy, that's a perfect segue. We've kind of set the stage for us to have our conversation about this DISC profile is not new, but this idea of marrying understanding your strengths and looking at it in a biblical context is something that most of us are not familiar with. So if you would be so gracious, we would love to do a part two. In the meantime, we would encourage everybody, go to the Lead Like Jesus website, go to leadlikejesus.com/DISC, D-I-S-C, and check out this new resource, and then come back, listen to part two of the podcast, and let's help everybody understand what an incredible asset this can be to your family relationships, to your work relationships, and really your friendships as well. So do you maybe in our last moments want to set the stage for us about what this particular aspect of the biblical behavior assessment will mean to people?
This whole thing about maximizing your strengths, and I'll talk about that a little bit more, but this is such a great framework to understand how God created you. And I have a quote on my blackboard in my office, and it says, "My life is God's gift to me. What I do with my life is my gift to God." Mm. And so the more we can know and understand ourselves and our strength and how we were designed, that is our job, right?
That's a perfect way to summarize this podcast and how we can be a good stewardship of the strengths that God has given us. And so we look forward to coming back and learning more in part two. Thank you so much for sharing all of your wisdom and experience and expertise with us.
Oh, my total pleasure. Thank you.
That brings us to the end of this particular podcast. If you want to get more information on the DISC Biblical Behavioral Assessment, go to leadlikejesus.com/DISC.